That's the concept of reverence. You can laugh and be reverent. You can smile and be reverent. You can be happy and be reverent. Do you think the only time we should approach God is when we're really serious? Now, we should be serious in our approach to God, but God loves all of our personality. He made us the way we are. So how do you be rich? I mean, once you get rich, how do you be rich? I mean, I love this idea because every single day, people are telling us how to get richer, but nobody is telling us how to live that way. And I know I want you to hear this lesson because, in all seriousness, some of you are going to say, this lesson doesn't have anything to do with me because, simply because, I'm not rich. I'm not rich. I mean, this lesson cannot apply to me. I mean, you know, I'm glad you're preaching because there are some folks there that really need this lesson. Well, it's important we understand this. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 24 that it's difficult for a rich person to heaven. And somebody is saying, yeah, so you need to preach to rich people so they will get to heaven. But this is really important because nobody knows, really knows the line between rich and not rich. I mean, you never received a paycheck or a bonus, or Monday morning you go to work and you say to somebody, wow, you know, Saturday at 1:30 I was not rich and today I am rich. You don't know where that line is. So you don't know when it's going to happen to you. What's going to happen is one day in your life you're going to wake up, you're going to realize you've been really, really rich, but you've not handled those riches well. One day you're going to wake up, you're going to go from not rich to rich, and you won't know it, and some of you are going to still think you're not rich. And you will, instead of thinking about how to be rich, you'll continue to think about how to get richer. And you'll never learn to be what you already are because you don't know where the line is. Does any of that make any sense? Now, you've seen this happen. You know some rich people that if you were to go up to them and say, hey, you're rich, they say, no, I'm not rich. You say, yeah, you are rich. You'd have this little argument about them. And you'd say, you're crazy, you're rich, and you don't even know it. You know, the same thing could happen to you. There are people in this world that walk up to you and say, you're rich, and you'd say, no, I'm not rich. And they'd say, yeah, you're crazy, you're rich, and you don't realize you're rich. So instead of learning how to be rich, we continue to spend all of our energy trying to get rich. This is why you know some people who are rich but are not very good at being rich. I mean, let me illustrate a couple of ways. I mean, your daughter is selling Girl Scout cookies. And you've done it, haven't you? I mean, tried to outbuy the other parents in the class so your kid would win. Yeah, just be honest about it, all right? You're selling Girl Scout, your daughter's selling Girl Scout cookies, and you get this idea in mind, you know, there's this guy, this rich guy, and if I could ever get my daughter beyond that security gate, honey, you get to his front door, I mean, he'll buy every Thin Mint that's ever been invented, he'll buy cases of cookies, and tomorrow we'll go in and turn in all the money, and you'll be done, because they're rich and they'll be generous. And somehow or another, you finally get her through that gate, and she goes up the door, and she rings the doorbell, and somebody comes to the door, and he says, I'll buy a box. And you thought, that's not how to be rich. Or have you ever met rich people who are really arrogant? And you thought, you know, if I was rich, I wouldn't be that way. They're just not very good at being rich. Or you've seen people who waste all their money, and you thought, you know, if I had that kind of money, I'd be generous with that kind of money. So what we're going to do is learn how to be rich so that if you ever end up rich, then you will know how to behave as a rich person. And as I said earlier, I know it gets kind of weird when preachers talk about money, but I want to tell you why I'm so excited about this. That is because the Bible has a beautiful text in it that deals with how to be rich. There's a letter written in the Bible that Paul actually wrote about how to be rich, just for rich people. It's written by Paul. Paul had been rich, and he went from rich to poor because he became a follower of Christ at a time when it was illegal to be a Christian, and he lost everything. And he tells Timothy, as a young preacher, interesting, he says, look, Timothy, there are some rich people out there, and you need to tell them how to be rich. So I was 24, 4 years old. And the church I was preaching at had three elders. One of them's name, not the one I'm going to talk about, his name was Pharaoh Sin. How's that for a name for an elder? Pharaoh Sin. It's like, does parents really think that through? But he had a son named Charles Sin, Charlie. And Charlie was one of my elders. And Charlie called me aside, 24-year-old preacher, called me aside and said, "Hey, Dale, you're going to deal with a lot of rich people in your life. You need to know some things about rich people." And he told me some things about rich people. I wish I'd remembered all of them. I do remember some of them. But more than Charlie Sin, Pharaoh's son, the son of Pharaoh, isn't that neat? And more than Charlie Sin, Paul the apostle tells us how to be rich. And Paul says, "Timothy, here's some things I want you to write down." So if you've got your Bible today, open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to be rushing today, and I'm going to say some things today. Because I'm rushing, you're going to say, I don't know if he really thought that through. I did. I'm just rushing. So follow with me. Try to stay with me today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he says, "Charge them that are rich. Command them," your translation may say, "that are rich." That's pretty strong language. "Command them that are rich in this present world." Now, why would God want to address rich people specifically? And the answer is pretty clear if you just look around at some of the rich people you know. Rich people have unique temptations, unique sins, unique pressures, and unique responsibility, and it's challenging to be rich. And some of you are thinking, "Man, I wish I had that challenge in my life." Well, listen, there are some challenges. Rich people have all sorts of trials and struggles that non-rich people have to deal with. But because God loves poor people and middle-class people and rich people, God says, "I'm going to say some things that will be sensitive to rich people. And I'm going to instruct them specifically in an area that will help them." And what was true in the first century is still true in the 21st century. So you know all sorts of things, Paul says, there are all sorts of problems with being rich. You see, rich people have extra money. And you see, maybe some of you have heard of this before. Maybe some of you have heard, rich people, they will save up money because they have extra. And they'll put it in the bank, and when their kids graduate from high school, they'll take some of that extra money they have, and they'll say, "You don't just get free high school, I'm going to send you to college." And they will pay for their kids' college because they have so much extra. And it's a hassle because they have to take time off, they have to take their kid up to college, and they have to go up there, and then they have to buy all kinds of books, and they have to buy all sorts of stuff. They have to pay a tuition. You've heard this, haven't you? I mean, they have to buy furniture, you know, to put in a dorm room, a different house that your kid's going to live in while they're in college. There's all this extra stress that rich people have that non-rich people don't have to deal with. Rich people, for example, have so much extra money, they have to do this thing called financial planning or estate planning. You ever heard of that? I mean, they get this. Imagine how cool this is. They know they're going to run out of time before they run out of money. And that when they die, they're going to have leftover money. So they're not able to spend all their money, so they hire somebody and pay them money to tell them what to do with the money that's going to still be there when they die. See, non-rich people have to deal with that. Here's another thing. Rich people overeat. Rich people have so much food, and this is amazing, I've seen it. They have so much food in their house that they have to take old food and throw it away to make room for the new food. In the refrigerator. You ever heard anybody having to do that? I mean, they have a box and they write a date on it and that's old now. And they take it out and they put more old food in there because they have so much extra food. I mean, rich people have to think about things that non-rich people don't have to think about. And they're worried about their kids because, get this, their kids have so much stuff. And they say to their friends, "I'm worried about my kids because they have everything." And you know what they do? They go home and buy more stuff for their kids, right? That's what rich people do. I mean, rich people complicate their own lives so unnecessarily. But it's the nature of being rich. They can't help it. Rich people are so rich, they have houses that their dogs live in. And they have houses that their cars live in. mean, a lot of people don't even have a house, but rich people have houses for their cars. I mean, that's really neat. And here's another thing. Rich people, they take water, I mean good, clean drinking water, water cleaner than most of the drinking water in the world. And get this, now stay with me. They take that water and they spray that good, clean drinking water on their grass. And then many of them then hire somebody to come to their house and cut that grass that they sprayed water on so that grass would grow. Are you with me? That's a problem rich people. People don't have that. I mean, rich women, they'll stand in front of their closet and they'll stare at it. Now, I've not seen this personally. I've just heard this happens. And they'll say, I don't know what to wear. I just don't have anything to wear. You know, rich people have problems. And this is really neat. Rich people, some of them work for themselves, but the people they work for, the companies they work with, they'll say, listen, we're going to take 2 or 3 weeks, and you don't have to work, but we're going to pay you anyway. We're going to give you money anyway. It's called vacation time. We're going to give you money, and you're not even going to have to be here. I mean, that's sick. You think about that. And that complicates their lives even more, because then they have to have this family meeting to decide where they're going to spend those 2 or 3 weeks where they're being paid when they don't have to work, and they spend a lot of that money that they're paid when they don't have to work, and they go on a trip somewhere, and they come back from that trip, and what do they say? Whew, I'm so tired. Just got back from a trip they paid for with money that they didn't have to work for. And so they get on planes and they rent cars and they go places, they spend all this extra money, and they have all this pressure in their life. I'm telling you, rich people have layers of complexity and stress that normal people don't have. And it hurts their marriages and it causes conflict because they're so busy spending money or making money or paying to entertain the kids that they grow apart. So Paul, knowing that God truly loves rich people, says, Timothy, when you preach, you tell rich people how to be rich. Now, the problem with this is, he says, command them that are rich. The problem is trying to figure out, because none of us want to think of it as us. It's always the other person. I mean, who are the rich people? It's somebody else, everybody around us. And everybody say, you're rich, but you won't admit it. And it's strange. Because this is a singular issue. Let me show you what I mean today. If you're tall, all right, if you're tall, let me ask you, if you're tall, would you raise your hand if you're tall? Look at that, man. So, sorry, James, got to pick on you because you're tall. Yeah, I think you're the tallest man in the room. I may be wrong. But you're tall. Now, I ask you to raise your hand. Do it again. Raise your hand if you're tall. Look around. Look around. You're getting high, man. Don't be ashamed. You're not tall. You're kind of tall. Compared to your parents, you're tall. Okay, I'll give you that one. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, if you're rich, raise your hand. See, nobody raised their hand, you know. Some of you kind of cheated. You knew where I was going with that, right? I wouldn't have a problem. Many were tall. If we're tall, yeah, of course I'm tall. But if somebody walks up, Phil May walked up and said, are you rich? You'd say, no, I'm not rich. If I walk up to James and say, you're tall, James would say, yeah, I'm tall. You see, we don't have any problem with that. If I said, if you're artsy, if you're musical, raise your hand. If you're musically inclined, raise your hand. You wouldn't have a problem raising your hand if that. That's my group. But if I was to go raise your hand if you're rich, you think, I'm not going to raise my hand because I'm not as rich as that person over there. They raise their hand. I might think about raising my hand, but they're rich. I'm not rich. Let me give you the evidence for this. There's evidence for this. Gallup Research did a, well, I want to go back one, please. Gallup Research did a poll. And they tried to figure out what is rich and what's not rich. And surprisingly, every group they talked to thought the group ahead of them were the rich people. So those people earn $30,000 a year, a household. And they said, now that would be rich. Understand, $30,000 a year. Actually, they did a household, $74,000 a year, which would mean The person said, all right, so if I make $30,000 a year, the people who make $75,000 a year, they're the rich people. I mean, if I could double what I make, then I'd be rich. So honestly here today, don't raise your hand, but how many of you here who make $75,000 a year think you're rich? So I go into the people that are making $75,000 a year and said, are you rich? And those people making $75,000 a year said, no, I'm not rich. It's the people making $100,000 that are rich. $100,000 a year that are rich. So basically what they did, they started adding to their income. So if you're here today, you make $100,000 a year, and I was asking you, if your family rich, you said, no, we're not rich. It's the people making $150,000 a year. I mean, I have to pay for a car and my kids, and you don't feel rich. So basically they did this broad research survey trying to find out the median number of what Americans feel like is rich. And they said the bottom line was $120,000 a year. That Americans think that people who make $120,000 a year, you're rich. But I guarantee you that if you know that person that makes $120,000 a year, and you say, are you rich? They say, no, I'm not rich. I mean, I've got a mortgage, and I've got air conditioning and heat, and I got kids and cars. You kidding me? I'm not rich. So they asked the top income earners, what is rich? The top income earners in America. Would you consider yourself rich? And they said, I would consider myself rich. I have $5 million in assets. $5 million in assets. That's what they said was rich. Well, what's the point? The point is, rich is a moving target. And the problem is, we may cross that line and never even realize it. In fact, you may be making more money than you ever made in your life. You remember the first time you got paid? You remember it? I mean, somebody handed you a check or some cash, you got paid. You got your first job. Jerry, what did you make at your first job a year? First job. First job. Yeah. $1.15 an hour. So you took that first check of $80 and you held that check and you thought, I am rich. And you thought then, you know, if I could ever make $200 a week, then I'd really be rich. I mean, if somebody told you 15 years ago you'd be making today what you're making, you'd say, no way I'd be making that kind of money. If I made that kind of money, I'd really be rich. Let's take this to another level. Intentionally, if you make $37,000 a year, you're in the top 4% wage earners in the world. 96% of the people in the world are poorer than you. But if you make $37,000 a year, you don't think you're rich. If you make $45,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of wage earners in the whole world. Now, here's the interesting thing. When I said those numbers, nobody in the room said, oh my, I never realized how rich I am. The preacher just told me I'm rich. I didn't realize I was rich. The fact is, it didn't create any energy in you at all. It didn't remove any anxiety from your life. Nobody's going to go home and throw a party and say, man, I make more than $37,000 a year. I'm rich. Even though in reality, all of us in this room, most all of us in this room, have probably crossed that line intentionally years ago, but you don't feel it, and that's the point. The reason that we don't think we're rich is we don't feel rich, and as long as you don't feel rich, you're going to try to keep trying to get rich. Well, when have you ever felt rich? When I was in high school, I cut yards, and in seventh grade, and 1 week I mowed 20 yards. And one family was really generous. They paid me $20 to mow their yard. I bet you I could line up a lot of business today at $20 a yard. And I went home that week, and I had nearly $300. And I remember thinking, I'm rich. I have no bills. I have no pressure. I have tons of margin. I remember one time, Mel and I sold a house, and we paid off every bill we had except one bill. We're living in an apartment. We're making less money than we made before, but we had margin. You see, the fact is, a lot of life is about margin. We don't feel rich, though. So, since we don't feel rich, we don't act rich, and we're irresponsible. There's a story about Bill Gates. He's in Africa. serving people. And he goes in this hut, and there's this little old lady sitting in the hut, and Gates leaves. He talks to her through an interpreter, and Gates leaves. The interpreter stays in there, and the interpreter says, "Did you know that you were just talking to the richest man in the world?" And she said, "Everybody who comes from the West is rich." In other words, in her mind, if you had been the next person to walk into her hut, she would have thought you were as rich as Bill Gates. And in her mind, you would have been. But you see, that doesn't make you feel any different about yourself, because there's this something more, always wanting something more, feeling if we can chase it and get more, we'll be happy, we'll be rich. What I want us to do is learn to admit that we're rich. So I want you to repeat something with me today. You ready? Have some fun with me today. Number one, here it is. Can you say it with me? I have more than I need. I'm rich. I have more than I need. I'm rich. But now let's do it the way it ought to be done. Let's do it the way it really should be done. Go back one. There we go. Say this with me. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. You see, the fact is, if I have more than I need, it's because God has blessed me. Now, one more thing before we move quickly on to our 4 points. Let's talk about guilt real quickly. Sometimes we feel guilty because we have something. And the fact is, we should not. When you were born, you were gifted, you were blessed. The fact is, most of us who are rich in this room didn't get rich on our own. You didn't make that happen. Your education, your status that allowed you to get that education. So sometimes we feel guilty instead of grateful. And what we need to feel is grateful that God blessed us. You say, "But I work for it." Let me tell you, my great-grandmother worked harder than you did. She had 13 children. Her husband died when the youngest was a year old. She worked 2 jobs. She got up before my mom was up and went to work at 1 and worked in the cotton fields all day long, came home and went to people's houses and cleaned their houses and their businesses at night, and she lived under the poverty level her whole life. But she worked harder than you did. Now, somebody's going to argue on that. Maybe somebody can. Most of us can't. You've been blessed. The fact is, stop feeling guilty about what God has blessed you with. Consider it providence. If God allowed you to manage more than you need day to day, don't feel guilty, but feel grateful and learn what God has to say about being rich. You've been blessed. He says he gave us those things. The text actually says he gave us those things for our enjoyment. Well, how do I get good at being rich? Now, some of you are going to freak out when I say this next sentence. Let's get started. Imagine for a minute that you had no fear at all of public speaking. I mean, no fear. And you have the opportunity to stand up in front of a group of rich people and talk. And they got to listen to you. And you could tell them one thing. What one thing would you tell them? What one thing would you tell them? Yeah, I see you. You'd say, "Give it all to me." But you can't tell them that. It could be a never, it could be an always, it could be a don't forget. What one thing would you tell them? Now, this is different. I want you to turn to someone you're not married to, so you may have to turn behind you or in front of you, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and this does not have to be profound. What would you tell somebody if you had the chance to tell rich people something? What one thing, what one piece of advice would you give to somebody that's rich? You got 30 seconds. Go. All right, time's up. Now, let's ask a question. What did Paul say to the people? What is the one thing that Paul said to the people who are rich in this world's goods? What is one thing he said to people who are rich? For some reason, I'm not going forward right now. I don't know why. He says, charge them that are rich in this present world. Now, quickly notice, he didn't say, the reason he said rich in this present world is he's not talking about eternal riches here. He's talking about rich here. Some of you think all the Bible's about heaven. That's not about, it's also about how to live here. Rich people in this world. Look at what he says. First of all, he says, number one, he says, don't be arrogant. Not to be haughty. Some translations, not to be high-minded, not to be proud, not to be conceited, not to be full of themselves. You tell those Christians who are rich, don't be haughty. Now, here's the fact. We do not see our own arrogance in the mirror. We don't see it. And we're rich, and we don't see it. And so the richer we get, the more we boss people around. The more confidence we have that we can tell people what to do, and we expect them to do it. A waiter comes to the table and gives you a hard time, and you give them a hard time back. And you ever seen somebody that's rich do that, and you're thinking, chill, like they're entitled? He's writing to people. He doesn't know, but he knows they're rich. And because he's inspired, he says the first thing they need to know is don't be arrogant with their riches. And here's the problem. We confuse our wealth with our worth. And we begin to define ourselves by our wealth. Jesus in Matthew 13 talked about the deceitfulness of riches. We begin to get confused about it. Here's where it gets ugly. As your income goes up, you think you're more important than other people. We never admit that, but you do. And you think about what they drive and what they wear and what you would do and what they do. And God loves everyone, but looks inside of us and says, here's something ugly. When you begin to think your wealth is equivalent to your worth, you end up in trouble. We got to move. I'm sorry. I'm gonna fly through the rest of this. He says, nor to put their hope in wealth that is fleeting, uncertain wealth. Isn't that crazy? The more we get, the more we lean into our wealth, the more we lean into our riches. But then look what he says. But to put their hope in God. He's talking to Christians. Tell these wealthy Christians that over time, accidentally, you can lean into the direction of trusting money and wealth and security, and you can forget that the real security, the real trust, the real hope is in God. You know this? The number one competitor for the Christian heart is money, not the devil, money. This is so clear. Jesus says it this way. No man can serve two masters, God and money. Not God and the devil, God and money. You can't serve both. If you end up serving both, you'll love one and hate the other. You'll get it confused. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. All right, quickly, how do I make sure I'm not leaning in my riches? The first one's kind of a little confusing. When the first phrase concerns you more than the second phrase. There is no God, there's no money in the bank. When the fear of not having enough hinders you from being willing to give generously. I mean, you see some project or something you want to give and you're not building any margin in your life and you think, I'm afraid I won't have enough, so you don't give. The third one, do you have money in the bank but no peace in your heart? When that money that you have has not brought you any peace, because money will never bring you peace. You're leaning in your money too much. When it's hard for you to do the right thing, when you know it's going to cost you financially. I got a message this week from somebody struggling with that. They're dealing with somebody that's in a situation where if they do what's right, they'll lose money. Would you do the right thing if it meant you lost money? Verse 18, command them, he says, to do good. Isn't that neat? Command them to take the riches that God gave them. The people have extra to do good, to take some of that margin in their life, some of that money in their life, some of that extra time in their life, instead of always thinking about where can I go next, what can I spend next, what can I buy next, to do good, to identify some things, some places, some people in your life where you can serve. Remind them to do good. Remind them not always to think about themselves and about what they want, about what they need. So I want to challenge you today to find some areas in your life where you can do good. Some people in your life you can do good for. some places you can go and you can help people, some causes you can identify that you can do good with. And then he says, not only to command them to do good, but to be rich toward God. Be generous, do good, and be rich toward God. Isn't that beautiful? God has blessed you with more than you need. You're rich, but don't trust your riches. Trust the one who provides richly. And since you have more than you need, give more. That's how to be in a rich in a way that honors God. And then finally in verse 19, in this way, isn't that neat? In this way. Add all this together. In this way, you lay up for yourself a firm foundation, not in this life, but in the life that is to come. Here's the truth. The relationship that you have with you and your wealth affects you and your eternity. So how are you going to use the riches that God has blessed you with? Today, this lesson is not to say, compare you to somebody sitting beside you or somebody in your life who you think's rich when you're not rich. But it's to ask you in your life, how are you going to use the riches God has blessed you with? Let's pray.